Well, if I can find a queue action somewhere, I'm going to love it.
The backlash makes me horny.
We're up for the banter.
It's a comedian.
Hello, welcome back to That Josh James Show. The podcast for the geezers and their birds.
Mate, this is like a new catchphrase, right?
Yeah, it's
like
new catchphrase.
I like that. I do like that. Yeah.
As ever, I'm joined by Romford's number one podcaster, Chrissy White, aka White Boy. What's happening, son?
How we doing, mate?
Good. And I'm delighted today to be joined by the king of Black British comedy.
The main man.
The main man himself. He's Slim. What's happening, Slim?
Slim, aka Black Boy.
Yeah. Right on.
Come on.
Oi.
Do you want to know why we call him White Boy?
Done. You got to tell me.
Well, yeah. Well, you tell the story, mate.
My second name's White.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They just decided, oi, White Boy.
Yeah. White Boy. Yeah.
Who named you that first? One of your black mates or white?
Nah, white mates.
Then white.
Yeah.
Black Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is it. A lot of black guys are like, really, bro? I'm like, you call me whatever you want, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't sound right, innit? It's like, if I say to you, call me Black Boy. You think, you sure? Walk through Brixton, it's like, oh, Black Boy, do you want this?
Well, you could get away with it if you're white, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Black Boy would never be a good nickname for anyone. Never.
Like, I've got a mate called Tom Black. We ain't calling him Black Boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But whenever I introduce him as White Boy.
Okay.
And I introduce you to a comedian. Remember that comedian Fiona?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is White Boy. And she was like, Josh, you know you're white as well. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, it's his nickname.
Yeah, that's literally my surname's White. That's it.
We've got to have a nickname.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how did you get a nickname Slim?
I was in a sound system. When I was younger, you know, us black people like the noise, don't we? A bit of bass, you know what I mean? So I was in the sound system when I was younger, and I just got that look. I've always been slim.
Yeah.
Literally, I think I've gone up one pant size, waist size, since leaving school.
Really? What's your secret? Do you exercise a lot?
Nah, yeah, I just think it's genetics.
Really?
See, I swear to God. I do fuck all to keep myself in this shape. But I'm just one of those lucky ones that can, like, you know, eat and kind of drink. I mean, I'm getting older now, so I do watch what I eat just naturally for my health. But nah, I've always been. I'm a 32
have you been
waist.
Have you ever peaked out? Like, have you ever been a big eater? Like, you eat.
Do you know what? Not really.
No.
I've never really been a big meat eater. I'm more a picker.
Yeah.
So I'll pick all through the day.
Yeah. Grazer.
Rather than sit down. So by the time Mum cooked the meal, said sit down, I didn't want it.
Yeah.
Because I was half full already. Yeah. So I was that kind of, I was that kind of child. I've always been skinny, man.
Slim.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be
any other way.
How old
are you now?
I'm 52.
52? Oh, mate, if I was in your nick at 52... I'd be fucking you. You could pass for a lot younger than 52.
You're gonna make a black man blush out.
But yeah, look, 52 ain't what it used to be.
No.
I see you got a bit about that.
Yeah, but even look, think about it. Even 35, 40, back in the day, don't matter what your colour is, they were married off in their 20s, like your granddad and that.
Yeah.
When was he married by?
Yeah, early.
Granddad.
21, done.
Yeah, like 20.
And you look at the wedding pictures, they look like grown men and all miserable, all stood up like that, like they're in a firing line, just about to be shot. Have you seen it? No one's got a smile on their face or anything. So, no, I hear that. At the age I am now, I should be getting all that chemist gear. What's it? Shoal. You know what I'm talking?
For the bunions.
Patches and all that instep stuff. You remember that was for the over 40s?
Yeah.
Well, I see pictures of my nan, like when she's early 50s, and I'm like, she looks like an old woman. She got the perm, and then she got the big glasses and all the gold, you know.
Yeah, back in the day, they had petticoats on in there.
Yeah.
I don't think no 50-year woman wears a petticoat anymore.
Whereas someone like my dad's old stuff, he chucked it out the other day. He's got loads of Lacoste polos.
And I've had
them off him. I'm like, well, I can wear them on stage.
Yeah. He's got some proper... Gabici's making a comeback, mate. You don't know about that brand, do you?
Gabici.
So you had Fred Perry and all that, but there's a brand called Gabici. They make really nice tops, jumpers and all that. They're making a comeback, man.
Yeah,
so tell Dad, don't throw away that stuff, mate. Believe me,
he also has them like black Reebok workouts that he had, and I'm like, no, I can't wear them.
Look, I see where anyway, ladies' styles concerned, fashion comes round every 20 years.
Yeah, of course it does.
So I've seen teenagers in stuff that mums back in the, or girls when they were younger, back in the 80s or what they used to wear.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
20, 30 years later. Well,
look, 90s is in now.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. 90s, and who would have ever thought 90s would have come back in?
No, definitely.
Like the big
bootcut jeans.
Yeah, the
boot cut,
big jeans.
Baggy
yeah,
jeans.
Yeah, that's
what I mean.
My missus and the trainers, which are like almost like a geography teacher wears them on her school trips or
yeah, like a chunky yeah, yeah, New yeah. Balance.
Like a chunky yeah. New Balance. Yeah.
Fashion
yeah.
comes back round. Yeah, really, don't throw away your stuff. I've still got my Farrahs.
Yeah,
I've still got my school trousers.
Yeah, you're still getting them.
Yeah, I know I'm throwing could. Out names. It's like Farrahs, Gavici, yeah. But these
I
are
know
proper,
Farrahs. That's F-A-R-R-A-H, isn't
proper.
It? Yeah.
Any old school will know Farrahs.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about, obviously people call you the king of Black British comedy. How do you feel when people, you know what I mean, say that towards you?
I don't mind any title, really, I get, as long as it ain't, do you know what I mean? It's something positive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When they say the king of Black British comedy, yeah, because I don't think a lot of people's aware there is a Black comedy circuit out there, has been for years. So where we couldn't get into the mainstream clubs back in the day, like, in mass, kind of. You get one or two back in the day, but
they let one
it.
In.
Yeah, they let
yeah,
one in.
Yeah,
you get
yeah,
a Lenny,
but not, you can't
you
have two.
You can't have two. No.
Because then it's
no.
a Black comedy night.
It is a Black comedy night. Yeah. And someone will say, what's the two of them doing up there?
Right. It's mad, isn't it?
So times have changed, obviously. And yeah, I'm able to go from the Black circuit now onto what we class the mainstream comedy circuit. And I'm loving it. I'm too. You don't want to just entertain your own people.
Yeah,
does
yeah,
that make sense?
That.
If I can make, because I know everything Black, don't I?
Yeah.
If you get what I mean. So I know what their humour is, what their thing. But if I can entertain other cultures and do it successfully, oh, yeah, man, nothing better.
Nice little buzz.
You go into a room and it's all a different culture in there and you can make them laugh. And we're all humans. We share same experiences. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We've got differences, but we share the same experiences. Work. Kids, whatever it is, there's things we have in common as humans.
Yeah, of course.
So that is what I concentrate on talking to the people about.
Yeah.
So it don't matter what my colour is, I can be in front of an all-white audience, they'll still have a good old giggle.
Yeah, so look, my missus is mixed race. Mm. So all her family, like, I go to her mum's, and they're all Jamaican.
Yeah.
So it's like, I see the like little subtle little cultural differences.
Right.
Know? So when you're a comedian, obviously they're the things that you pick up on. You know what I mean? They're the things that you slip into the jokes.
That's right.
To get people to relate to it. Yeah?
That's right.
So obviously there's going to be certain jokes that you do that you're going to use when you're on the Black comedy nights.
Yeah.
That you're probably not necessarily going to do if you've got an all-white audience.
Well, I think that's adapting to your environment.
Yeah.
You've got to adapt. You can't say, right, I'm going to treat every audience the same.
Yeah.
Because you know, Joshy, you know, every audience ain't the same.
No.
You know what I mean? What works with one won't work with the other.
Yeah.
So I think look, you're Cockney. You're in front of an all Cockney audience. You can really go in on the Cockney. Even like, there's certain slangs that it don't matter how old I am, there is certain Cockney words you'll use. What did he mean by that? Or what, not directed at me, but he's just talking to someone else. And you use certain slang, you know. You can be a bit more Cockney in front of a Cockney audience.
Mm.
So I suppose I could be a bit more Black in front of a Black audience.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That makes sense.
A Chinese guy can be a bit more, if it's all Chinese audience, he can be a bit more.
lean in a little bit.
You can lean into that Chinese side.
It's true.
So I think that's what it is. But subject matter, you know, it's the same. You know, I tell people about my kids. Do you know what I mean? And they've got kids. And we share like a little relatable.
Kids are all
stuff.
The same.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. I don't have to lean in more. I maybe tell you from my perspective as a Black guy, but growing kids is kind of the same. I mean, they get in trouble.
Yeah.
You get called up to school, Do you know what I mean? Mm. That ain't a colour thing. So,
you got kids to him?
I've got six of them, man.
Six, yeah?
Yeah, man.
My guy.
I know, man.
You ain't hanging about. What's the ages?
The ages of them are 35, going backwards, 35, 33, 28, 24, 20, and 22.
Bro, so from like 88 You was busy.
Knocking. Yeah. 89.
You see, we know him as slim, but all the ladies know him as long. Do you know what I mean?
When you say that, it's just like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Six.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I started early, 17.
Yeah.
So that's the 35-year-old, turned 35.
I think you've got a, have you got a son my age? I'm 33.
Yeah, I have, yeah. Kieran. Yeah. Oh, boy, you're 1990.
1990, mate. Yeah.
You're 88. Yeah. So you're a little bit older than your oldest. Right. It's really weird because, I mean, sometimes, you know, comics, we kind of see things that other people don't see or facts or that. Little weird things. I realise my daughter is 6 months younger than Tyson Fury. I'm a boxing man.
Yeah.
She is 6 months older than Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
And for me in my mind, because I still think I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Even though I've got the grey ears and all that. Come on, I'm a comedian. I tell jokes for a living. How mature do you think I am?
I feel the same.
So thinking of that, one of my children is the age of like Tyson Fury and Joshua. And my mind can't get around that.
Nah.
So I really feel to disown that one.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Wipe her from history, Don't call me dad anymore. My name's Danny.
Same to you. Do you watch the fight at the weekend?
Oh, I just about caught it.
Yeah.
Booked it late because I was gigging. So by the time I got back, so I did actually catch up. What can you say is boxing?
Yeah.
Two big men throwing punches at each other. If one lands, it's over. That's the truth. In the heavyweight division.
All I'm saying is, so the same guy fought Fury and give him a good go.
Oh, yeah.
I personally think he won.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. He did.
I think he won that fight.
I think Fury underestimated him.
And then he stepped in with AJ and he done the.
I think a fully fit Fury would have wiped the floor with him, but he sort of took his eye off the ball.
Yeah, well, look,
I think he did.
We had George Groves
serious.
On here and he was saying that it looked like Tyson hadn't done any sparring. It was like he got punched and it looked like he hadn't taken a punch for ages.
Oh, right.
I think he just got in there thinking it was going to be like
nothing. An exhibition.
Yeah.
I think a lot of boxers have made a mistake of doing that. Lennox Lewis lost to a guy called Rahman. One of the first losses that he took, and he took his eye off the ball. He went and waited, and I think he was filming Ocean 11. That big film in that?
He went and got
a little cameo part in it.
Right.
So he said, I cut my training camp.
Yeah.
And he lost that fight. I've seen it. Mike Tyson, same thing, didn't take Buster Douglas.
Right, he was filming that. He's like sparring Klitschko.
Yes.
In the film.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's it.
Right, and he took that time off. I think he cut the camp by about a couple of weeks. It was enough that he, you know what I mean?
But you know what? I equate that to like what we do with a stand-up. I know that if I don't write regularly, you know, and try and churn out new material, that I just don't perform when I need to perform.
That's
you
right.
See what I mean?
That's right. You can't skip it. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
So would you think it's like, if you're not on stage all the time, when you get up there, you're not going to be as comfortable?
That's what I find. Right. Yeah. I mean, you might not find that slim. You've been doing it like 30 years.
If I go on holiday for 2 weeks and come back, I still think, have I got it? Can I remember my shit?
Yeah, you do.
And that's just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, the boxing, it was great. I mean, well done to Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
I think he saw what Francis was capable of, and he said, not today, mate.
Nah.
Yeah, I can't afford for you to do that.
Yeah, no.
He looks good again now, AJ. He looks really good.
He did look
and
good.
I've always, to be honest, I've always been more of an AJ fan than Fury. I just have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I love AJ.
I just, I'm sort of hoping that he comes back and then that he maybe fights Fury and he wins it. And so far, so good. But
I'm not sure if I'm an AJ or Fury guy.
I love them both. Don't get me wrong. I love Fury as well.
I
think I've got more of like, I really want AJ to do it, you know what I mean?
It's true. You always got one that you prefer, like Frank Bruno. Back in the day, you had Frank Bruno, Gary Mason.
We love Frank Bruno on this podcast.
Right. Yeah. Gary Mason.
Yeah.
God rest his soul. Do you know who Gary Mason is?
No, I don't.
He's a solid. Go and look up his fight with Lennox Lewis.
Good, yeah.
Brilliant fight, man. Do you know what I mean? And he was one of the best British boxers we had.
Frank
heavyweights.
Bruno was the... Was,
but well, I mean, Frank Bruno Frank, was like the top.
Frank Bruno, probably the main reason why I got into boxing, really. He used to live like around the corner from me in Brentwood. And always used to see him down the newsagents
or whatever. He's a nice guy,
He's a lovely guy. I mean, my mum and dad, he'd done an open training camp somewhere in Brentwood and they took me when I was about 5 years old. And he laughed and then I was next. I was next to the ring and I went everyone laughed and I always remember this story as well. I was with my mum and there was these, we was like Frank Bruno was in front of us in the queue and then there was these kids like buying sweets, right? And they had getting all their shrapnel out and they was taking ages and a big queue come up and people were getting a bit annoyed and Frank Bruno just got a tenner out and he just went ego boys pay with that. And then he goes, but don't take anything off strangers.
Well, that's classic. This is a one off.
And everyone was like, but you know, it's just like the people's champion.
He's a good guy. He was. I think that's what it is. When you know you're in people's hearts in whatever you're doing, people take to you, whatever. That's a great feeling, man.
Yeah, he was just lacking that little bit of that killer instinct. He had Tyson.
He did. He hurt Tyson.
He had him, and he didn't finish the job.
He weren't a finisher like that.
Exactly. He weren't spiteful enough. It's too nice.
You've got to, when you see a spite, that's what it is.
It's that little bit of spitefulness.
He thought, I've hurt him.
He didn't have that killer instinct.
Bruno punched. I think, I don't care what anyone says, I think Frank Bruno was one of the pound for pounders, heaviest punchers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great.
I'm not talking about skillful. If you say, right, test strength, I think they tested his strength years ago. If I remember right reading the paper, I think they said being hit by him at full force was a bit like, I think a car at 28 miles an hour.
Really?
But no, seriously, the force he generated.
Yeah.
And it's true, Frank Bruno had tremendous punching power. I think agility is what he didn't have. Yeah. You know, that he's very more stiff.
A bit rigid.
He's a bit rigid.
Old
if he was
boxer,
more
he?
Flowy, with that punching, Frank would have done enough, guys. Mm. Especially in America, he'd have done them out. His punching power's tremendous, mate.
So when he was on the, we're going back to what he was originally talking about, you know, because people probably won't know that there was, I mean, now, you know, there's been a lot of guys that have done a lot of great work. I mean, Mo is a prime example of really breaking into the mainstream. But for years, you had very much the black comedy circuit and then the mainstream comedy circuit.
That's right.
When you're on there, because during the black comedy circuit, you know, from what you guys have told me, you're playing massive rooms. You're playing the Hackney Empire and it's full. Yeah. Do you ever feel to yourself, you know, but you guys are not getting the opportunities to be in the mainstream and to get on TV? Was there any part of you there that's like, that sort of winds you up? You're like, did you accept it? Or
Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of comics do feel a bit, you know, pissed off. And I don't, if I make things start getting to me, I then become bitter.
Yeah.
And then I won't be the same comic. Instead of entertaining people, I walk around just, you shouldn't get that. Why has he got that? And that's the way. Have you ever known anyone like that? They just walk around, just sound resentful about, I should have been a footballer. He's what, blah, blah, boxer.
Oh,
he's
I had that one when it comes to football, to be honest.
I'm not really one to, because what it is for me, it's me entertaining the people.
Yeah.
Me hearing laughter from a room full of people. Mm. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Beats anything. So I know I'm doing something right. Yeah. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
So just keep at it. Don't give up. They can't ignore you forever.
And when did you feel like it started to change in terms of like, you know, like you said, one or two black comics might get a bit of attention. They might get things on TV, but it was very much like, you know what I mean? One in, one out sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, what point do you think it started to change? And
what point did it start changing? I would say from say 2000-ish, 2010, around time. Yeah. I'll say, 2010-ish.
Yeah.
It slowly started to change. I mean, we've always been in the comedy clubs. I mean, anyone that goes to comedy clubs will know, you can go to a comedy club and see a black comedian.
Yeah.
At any mainstream comedy club now, up and down the country, not just in London, literally up and down the country. I go up and down the country all the time. I was in Birmingham yesterday, you know, I do Nottingham. I'm going Glasgow next week.
Right.
Nice.
Going. So I'll go anywhere in the day, people.
Yeah.
And they actually love it. So for me, it's not a matter of, oh, they're not choosing me or whatever. You don't, look, I'm going to tell you why I love this job. It's a lot of traveling, but for a guy with secondary school education, I didn't go to college. I started to have kids early, so I had to go straight to work, support these kids. Mm. So I haven't really furthered my education much. For what we earn, for talking to people in 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes tonight.
20 minutes, there's nothing for me to complain about.
Yeah.
I'd literally be a miserable bastard for complaining about 20 minutes worth of work. And we can't even complain to mates that you're tired. Oh, mate, I'm exhausted. He's just done 60 hours.
You've done 20 minutes.
You've done 20 minutes. I've done 20 minutes,
yeah. Even if I work three times for that weekend, that's an hour worth of work.
Yeah.
So me getting, what I'm saying is, what I earn, the way I love my job, everything, I won't let a little fact like I haven't got TV work on a regular yet dismiss me, because I still earn a decent wage.
Yeah.
I earn actually a very good wage a year.
Yeah. And it's, if you compare TV it to the amount of time you're on stage, it's really good money.
It's really good money, mate.
Yeah.
Break down your 20 minutes to your pay and see how much per minute. You're getting paid per minute, not per hour.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Bruv, nothing to call. Bruv, I'm a black guy living in England doing all right. Chin, chin, mate. Chin, chin. No complaints here.
Yeah.
This is what it is, Josh.
Yeah, I love that, man. And you, honestly, you're one of the best people I've ever seen do it.
Thank you, brother.
You know what I loved? Because, you know, I remember when I first signed with UTC and they're like, oh, everyone's like, you got to watch Slim.
Yeah.
You got to see Slim. And I said, I'll watch you. And, you know, I've been doing it like 10 years now. And you become a little bit, because when you're surrounded by stand up so much, you watch so much of it, you're gigging yourself, you see other comics, you become a little bit sort of, numb to it.
Yeah,
you know,
obviously.
What I mean?
No, 100%.
And when I watched you, I'm like, it was like watching comedy again before I started doing comedy.
You're right, you're 100% right.
You know,
once
that's how good
it,
you were.
Oh,
and I'm
man.
Like, this is fucking great.
I appreciate you. And it was good to see you coming on the scene, because it's refreshing. I'll say it, a lot of comics that now are out there are very middle classish.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. So if the middle class people don't get at me. But back in the day, me growing up, for me, it was mostly working class geezers that were the comics.
Bit more old school, yeah.
Yeah,
and
a bit
it's
old
not
school.
As much now, is it, really?
No. I wanna hear a bit of Cockney.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I want to hear that. I don't want you to pronounce all your words right. You know what I mean? Yeah. I need you to sound Cockney-ish.
It's
or
funny
something, or Northern, or working class, you know?
You want a bit of personality. Like, I totally agree.
And
I
you came along and that's what we got. We got personality, mate.
Yeah, I sort of switch. You know, there's some great comics out there, but sometimes I switch off if they sound a certain way or whatever. I just want a little bit of like, that's a bit different.
Yes.
Or I can imagine meeting that person.
Right.
You know.
Would you want to go for a pint with him?
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I
yeah.
mean? You
yeah.
go for, you, those kind of geezers.
Yeah,
yeah, he looks
There's
like,
not
yeah.
many comics that you think, I'd see that geezer down the pub.
Yeah.
Do you see what
I mean?
You know, when I first started coming into comedy, I felt like there was a lot of, good comics. But I think I'd never really come into contact with people like you.
Nah, man, it's an honour. There's definitely. And as I said, I love the job.
Yeah.
I can't think. I mean, I used to bus drive. I've done a lot of driving jobs. Like, mostly driving. I wasn't an office guy.
No.
What, proper bus driver?
Proper bus driver.
What was that like?
That was all right.
This episode is brought to you by London's leading secondhand watch specialist, Kettle Club. Kettle Club are an independent watch dealer who sell a range of luxury brands all at different price points. If you're looking to buy or sell a watch, then they really are the people you need to talk to. I love Kettle Club sponsoring us because they're actually a brand I used long before this podcast even started.
Yeah, I've dealt with other watch dealers before White Boy, but for me, Kettle Club offer the fairest prices and the most honest and professional service. The boys there really are a pleasure to deal with, and I wouldn't go anywhere else, and I don't want you to either. So go and see them at their showroom by London Liverpool Street Station, just next to the Anders Hotel. And if you quote that Josh James Show on inquiry, you get 15% off of polishing for your watch. That offer is brand dependent. Back to the show.
First started, I weren't allowed to drive double deckers. I was only 20. You can drive double deckers when you're 21. Right. So they give you hoppers, little hopper buses.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the hopper buses. The kids like, they look like kids driving it.
Yeah.
They're really young looking.
Because they're youth.
Yeah, you're not allowed until you're 21.
You're not allowed the big ones. Oh, okay.
The only trouble I have with bus drivers, and I said this to the white boy on the way here, every time you drive past a bus, if they're indicating, they're fucking coming out, mate. They're not.
So, do you know what? It's half and half because I don't like it done to me, but I tell you as a bus driver what happens. You'll indicate, yeah? No one wants to let you out.
No, because they don't want a bus in front of them.
You're a bus. Yeah. So everyone's trying to drive past you like that. Yeah, so eventually a man says, well, I tell you what, run into the side of this shit. Yeah, I know no one don't like it, but some bus drivers do it just off the cuff. They don't even try and wait anymore. Because they know they'll bully you. Those ones I don't like.
Yeah, but look, I said to Jamesy, right? I'm like, the man's on a schedule.
Yeah.
He's got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Plus he's got 30, 40.
Yeah, people.
What, how many people get on a double decker? 60 people?
No, double decker was about upstairs and down about 90.
Oh, there you go.
People,
he's got 90 people. He's got to get them where they're going.
Yeah.
Just let the man out.
Yeah.
I'll back the bus drivers on that one.
Do ya?
Yeah.
White boy.
Come on.
And you got a schedule, obviously. You've got to get to a certain time. Have you got to get to the next stop at like this time or?
They give you, they give you a certain time between this certain main parts of the journey.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So
from this clock tower to the hospital
is
7 minutes or what? Do you know, like, think of a route, you know.
Yeah.
So, and you've got major landmarks between these. So they give you like 6 minutes between that, 7 minutes. Yeah, so you're timed. You are timed.
And was you driving all in London doing that?
Always in London.
Well, you're southeast London, aren't you?
I'm southeast, yeah.
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 So what was the same route all the time?
No, what you do as a bus driver, when you're employed, you go to the garage, and the garage usually has 6-8 routes in there. So they tell you, first couple of days, they say, you don't drive buses. They say, jump on all the routes and learn them.
Okay.
So you just go out, catch one of the buses, and ride the bus up and down and learn the route.
Yeah.
You've gone the wrong way.
Yeah, I've done it before. I think all bus drivers, you do it at least once. You take the wrong turning.
Yeah.
And then everyone on the bus is like, where are you going?
Yeah, it's usually old girls.
Yeah.
You've gone the wrong way, driver. And they literally will direct you back. You know the old birds?
Because it's most
probably happened to them before.
Yeah, they love a bus.
Oh, man.
Yeah, mate, my nan used to swear by a bus.
Listen.
She'd be like, I'll get this bus here, that bus there.
Listen, at 9 o'clock, dead. You're not even freedom pass, the old age pensioner pass. That kicks in.
Yeah. So they get it completely free?
Yeah. Once you reach certain age.
You get a bus pass. Okay, yeah.
Because you don't want them on the road driving, really.
Right.
Nah.
And it kicks in at 9 in the morning.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, so as soon as 8.50, you see them all lining up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the bus stops are starting to fall.
And they won't get
bang.
On until 9.
Nah. Now by that time, bang, they're on the bus. You just see little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
10 to 9, it's all the bus.
Yeah, so look, it must be different back in the day because it weren't like Oyster, Tap. You was doing the change, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, is that grief? What was it, 40p?
It was 40p. You get a guy come on 5 in the morning, you're the first bus. They don't give us a float. So I'm going to explain that to people. Well, it don't matter now, but they didn't give us a float. You know, like change to go out there.
Yeah.
It's your own personal change you'd put in that.
Really?
Yeah, so sometimes a guy come on, he's got £20 note.
For a 40p fare?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
And he knows you're going to just say, get on. Some do it regular. They'll do it. He takes the bus every morning at that time to go to work. He'll always carry this 20.
Would you ever check if they're snide, though? If they're like...
Definitely. I'll hold it up in front of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so what? They're cheeky. They know you ain't going to break that.
Yeah, but listen,
and give you £19.60 change.
Yeah, they know.
Like,
so they
on,
get
mate.
On free.
Psychology, mate.
Yeah.
Psychology.
Sneaky, mate.
And I ain't got time to argue. Some bus drivers will argue the toss with them. I'm not, get on.
Just get on.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not that deep for me, mate. Do you know what I mean?
So you grew up in Broccoli. Didn't you, was you telling me once you grew up with Ian Wright? Or like in the same area?
In the same area. They're the bigger boys. Ian Wright, David Rollcastle, the Rollcastle family. Yeah. Stephen Antifus. He used to play for Millwall.
So you remember when they was younger, just playing kicking
ball?
Yeah,
like when I was like 7, 8, Ian and that would have been like 15. See, they're like the bigger teenagers. You know when you're small,
yeah,
you see the bigger boys, you're like those ones that are getting fight and be annoyed, like.
Ian was
one of those guys. And
legend.
Yeah, David was a bit more quieter. Ian was more a bit of a ragamuffin.
Was
the character you see being male, yeah.
From what I remember, Ian Wright, he went to prison for a little bit, I think.
I don't know. Because I was so young, I didn't know who went to prison or who didn't. The bigger boys just disappeared, didn't they? If you really think about it, at primary school, any of those kids a bit older, that's going like young offenders and all that, I wouldn't really know. Unless my mum or someone said, oh, do you know blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You didn't know. They just disappeared.
Nah, you wouldn't know. You don't know what they're
as
really
long as your
to.
Mates, you're not for, like on your mate's door, your mates are there.
Yeah.
You don't care who else in the era disappears.
Nah.
And you never hanged about with the big boys. So you didn't know who the fuck they were. Yeah. So I'm not sure if he went to prison. That I can't guarantee. But I know they were good lads. Me and David's brother, Stephen, we went the whole way through primary school. So
yeah.
Stephen, Karen, Cynthia, sisters and brothers and all.
And you started doing stand-up when you was what, 21?
21.
Yeah. You had an interesting start to your comedy career, didn't you?
I
did. You get up in front of 1,200 people your first night?
Yeah, I went Acne Empire with, at the time, he's a black stand-up comedian called Curtis Walker. And
was he big?
Big comic in the black community. He's one that we call him the Godfather. So at 21.
So he's the Godfather, you're the king.
He's the Godfather, man. Yeah, he's the Godfather.
You're taking the reins now.
Do you know what? I'd never call myself king, you know.
No, I've never heard it come out of your mouth.
No, I've never said that. But I've never been braggadocious like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
King or cunt, which one do you want to be called? Yeah? Oh, that cunt.
Yeah, you'd rather king, wouldn't you?
So I'll take it. But he had a one-man show at the Hackney Empire. And I went down to watch it. But I'd been hanging around with him for about, I don't know, best part of a year. And they always asked me before, ain't you ever done comedy? I said, no. His manager said, you should do comedy. You're quite a chuckly guy.
Yeah.
I never thought about it at all. On the day of the show, though, he's come up to me at the break. He says, look, come up and do 5 minutes after the break. I said, 5 minutes?
Did you have five minutes?
No, I didn't have 5 minutes. I started to write about meeting your girlfriend's parents, but I hadn't really written anything about it.
Yeah.
It's like I was trying to put it together.
Yeah, well, there's loads in
fact,
there.
Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? Meeting your girlfriend's parents for the first time.
Yeah.
So he goes, go up there and do something on that. So I got a bit, I got scared, man. The place was packed.
Yeah,
it was like 1,200. Remember, I'd never been on stage before.
And your first gig is the Hackney Empire in front of 1,200 people.
And weren't planned. So
can't even imagine those sort of nerves.
Yeah, I had two shots of Hennessy brandy.
Yeah.
And one of my friends had one of them Bob Marley special filters on him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The old Bob Marley special filters.
Well, he knows a bit more than I do.
He had one of the Bob Marley special filters on him. Yeah. So I had a bit of that. And I just was, come on, man, it's Dutch courage. Along with the old Bob Marley. Yeah, I was ready.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a fuck. If I got booed, I wouldn't even have realised.
No, he's a bit like,
So I went up and I started and I got a laugh. And I was like, I've got a laugh.
I've got
a laugh. And I was literally celebrating in my head and forgot the rest of what I was supposed to say. So when the laugh died down, I'm looking at them. They're looking at me like, what's next?
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck, what do I say?
Yeah.
I thought, tell them the truth. I said to them, look, I've had a drink and a smoke. I can't fucking remember what I was supposed to say. And you see that laugh? Yeah. I said, see you later. And came off the stage. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
nice.
From that, but I did get a buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
like, yeah, stand-up comedy from then. So yeah. I've never looked back since that day.
But I've never heard of anyone doing their first gig to 1,200 people.
Yeah, that's it. Empire, and you forgot it and then made a joke out of that and just left.
I literally forgot. My mind went blank. In front of everybody.
Well, my first gig was just down the road here in Deptford, right? And there was probably only about 40 people in the audience, but that was still like, oh, I can't remember the nerves and pacing up and down. And the one thing I just didn't want to, I weren't that bothered about getting laughs. I'm like, I just don't want to forget what I was going to say when I get up there.
You know,
and the trouble is, you're going through it before you go up on stage and it's all good now. Like when you've not got the adrenaline, you can remember it like that. But when I think that's one thing you learn in the stand up is you get better at handling that adrenaline and being a bit more in the moment.
Yep.
But when you first start, that adrenaline is just absolutely pumping. It throws your head. You can't really remember what you're going to say.
I've had two shots of brandy.
Yeah.
And some smoke.
Yeah.
And the adrenaline going. Yeah.
How old were you at this point?
21.
21.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So,
at what sort of age do you think you started to, like, I was about to say take over, but almost like people were like, wow, yeah, he's the man, he's really good.
So did you keep doing stand-up straight from then?
Yeah.
So like
next, I think he took me to a gig 2 days later.
And jumped straight back up?
Yeah.
But nice.
that one's like 500 people, so it weren't as...
You fuck me, it's still pretty big, though.
Yeah, still pretty big, yeah.
But that's black comedy is in big rooms. Mm. They've always been in big rooms. So, you know, the mainstreams, there's like little comedy clubs dotted everywhere, above pubs, in little 100-seaters. That now...
Yeah.
Black comedies is like Catford Broadway Theatre.
Yeah, 500, thousands.
Shepherd's Bush Empire. These big.
It's mad
big
to think that people have not looked at that any sooner. The amount of tickets that they sell on the black British comedy circuit, you know, that TV sooner hadn't been like, wow, look at that. That's a big market there.
It is a
Why
big
are we not
market.
Tapping into that?
It is
anymore?
A big market. I'm not sure if they feel that, you know, the majority or the mainstream of the population would, you know, enjoy or understand us. But I keep saying to people, you go to a comedy club, they really do have a good laugh. I have fun. I don't mind where I go. Mm. I can go to the most whitest area.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and give them a good time, the best I can.
I think attitudes have changed a lot, though, haven't they?
Oh, probably definitely. People, well. Look, if you're funny, you're funny. I've always found that anyway, especially working class people. Mm. Doesn't matter away from comedy, but... If you're funny, you can't deny if someone's funny.
Dude, if you're funny, you're funny.
You're funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
you're
it is subjective, though, isn't it? Because
funny's subjective.
Someone
you're
you find funny, something that you class 100%. As hilarious, funny. Other people are going to go, no, I don't like that.
100%. 100%.
Who's your favourite all time?
Oh Jesus, this is just too much comics. I mean, it's from English comics to American
like Gordon,
comics.
Who's your favourite American?
Well, I'll start with me English, because I'm here.
Go on
then. I grew up with people like Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The real old school guys. I did like Billy. I like storytellers as well. Frank Carson, Irish guys. Where you tell them? You know
what I'm talking?
I've got some proper little comics out there that I used to watch. And, you know, I was like 6, 7. Watching them, I always used to love watching comedy, stand-up comedy or sitcoms.
Yeah.
I've always been into sitcoms and stand-up comedy. So in Britain, Only Fools and Horses, come on.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Bruv.
Yeah.
A so bit of Del Boy.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And the funny thing is, West Indian people loved watching Del Boy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But he was a trier, weren't he?
Yeah. Well,
he was a trier. You've got to say,
it's tough to watch now.
But as well... I think tough to watch now.
It's tough to watch now. Like someone like, oh, fuck, you know, you can't say that. You know what I mean?
No, you can.
But it's great what you just said.
You can.
The Caribbean people loved it. You know what I mean?
You know, that's what it was. They love a bit
but
of
I think as well, you think about Del Boy, like obviously based in Peckham, it's like someone like a Del Boy, I think a lot of, especially if you're, you know, if you're black living in London, you know a character like that. Just
definitely.
What I mean?
You know, he's a wheel dealer, weren't he?
Yeah.
Well, he knows that. He's a trier, mate.
Yeah. Plus his best pal's Denzel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, come on. Yeah. What's a Denzel in their life? A Denzel or a Winston, you need
one. There you go.
Yeah. Do you know, I always think about Denzel when they catch that, can't remember what episode it is, they catch that really like valuable butterfly. And then, I can't remember if Del Boy or Rodney catches it and he sees Denzel and he's like, I've caught it. And he puts his hands out.
gives
a high five, Fucking irons out the butterfly.
So those kind of comedies, American comedies, you know, it doesn't matter what it was. I liked Steptoe and Son.
Yeah,
Steptoe and Son was a
good
old. I think this is what I'm saying about, I grew up with working class.
Of course you did, yeah.
Comedy. Mm. So that in the 80s, it kind of went very political and no disrespect to them, the Ben Eltons everything was about Thatcherism and politics and...
Yeah.
And that is all right, but come on, man, give us a chuckle, man.
Yeah.
Come on. So it was a bit, we've had that for ages and I think now we're swinging back to the working class more now. Mm. Seen a lot more working class comics coming out than
what it was previously.
Uni, because most of the comics come out of uni.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of them on telly, they're uni.
Right,
you think about all the. I mean, I love Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
Unbelievable.
I mean, like Ali G.
Ali G. Done his thing, didn't he?
Just hilarious. Yeah, but you think. you see a lot of them, but he come out, I think it's the Cambridge Footlights.
Yeah.
And you see loads of these successful comedians that come out of that sort of Oxford, Cambridge world, you know, it's very much highly like educated. Elite.
Yeah.
Elitist, you know.
I think that was because what you get, a lot of the directors and the people that work in TV industry, they come from that.
They yeah. come from that as well.
So yeah. they understand, do you know what I mean? That yeah. kind of, rather than our working class humour. They more understand.
I mean, you
that.
Think I couldn't really think of anyone that I know that works in TV or anything like that. You know, just nah. wouldn't put people that we hang around with. They don't go into those
no jobs.
They don't go into those professions. You
yeah,
know?
That's the truth. I've never really met a Cockney producer.
Nah,
come in, sit down, the old China. Do you know what I mean?
Guy
you
Ritchie,
don't really
maybe.
Get none of that.
Yeah, but even still,
yeah. But yeah, it's one of those. It's yeah, like you said, it's almost a bit of networking, isn't it?
It's
like right, oh yeah, if you know that person, they hire for that show or they're director on that show, so you can get into them. You know,
yeah, I mean, a bit of work experience or whatever. Yeah,
I literally couldn't think of one person. You know, if it weren't for UTC, I couldn't think of one person that I know that works in TV or that world is just completely all that sort of. TV, all that, it's completely alien to me.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I can get up on stage, I can write jokes, I can do that, I can get funny, no problem.
But the meetings, etc.
The meetings, all stuff like that, I'm just like, I often say to them, I go, you know, what's like the best this. Thing? What do you think to do? Like, you're the guys that know. I don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, I leave it to these guys.
I just don't know.
Kelly and Polly, I leave it to those two.
Yeah, I have no... But so you meet some comedians... Mm. And they're switched on. Yeah. They know this person there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, who's that guy? I mean, being on.
They know everybody. This.
And I remember thinking, how the fuck do you know all these people? You know, and they're like, yeah, that guy's that guy, and that guy's that guy. And oh, who's that we were just talking to? Oh, he's the head of this. And I'm like,
yeah.
How do you know all this?
Yeah, they really do get to
and
know.
And I was thinking, you slippery little cunt.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
in the circle.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah. I mean, brown nosing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say it's brown nose.
Yeah.
When you know everybody.
Yeah, he's brown nose. It's a bit, it's like.
Well, think of any other industry.
He's tunneling.
Someone knows everyone. Oh, that's the CEO. He better be there 50 years to know everyone like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Apart from that, you're a brown noser.
Yeah.
I've worked for people, I don't know who owns the company. I don't know who the boss is.
Yeah. Standard. You know what I mean? Keep yourself to yourself. Mind yourself. Your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if UTC ever do, I'm half the time I'll spend my time just having a chat with you about boxing. Do you know what I mean?
Love it.
Yeah, not like networking.
And I think, I mean, I used to work in the city for a bit, and that was just one of the things I could never get on with. It's like pretending to be nice to people because they will give you business.
Yes.
And I think, listen,
this ain't me.
I ain't got that in me.
Yeah, this ain't
me. If I get along with you and you're someone important, happy days.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get along with you being myself and you being yourself.
100%.
And there's going to be a natural connection.
100%. Yeah. That's what I do love. As I said, I love my job.
Yeah.
Because literally, that's how it is for us now.
That's how, yeah.
You don't have to. Do you know what I mean?
I still think that sort of networking, I still think that does benefit people for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, some people are really good at that.
Yeah.
Making someone who's not interesting sound interesting to them, like you need a great fake laugh.
Yeah.
Career laugh.
You're like, yes, mate. You know what I mean? Just tell them exactly what they want to say.
Persona, man.
Yeah. Say their name every 2 minutes. They love it.
Yeah, I can't do the fake persona.
No.
That's what I think. He works in a building game, and that's one thing I'm jealous about a building game. I'm just like, they're just honest with each other.
I do like that.
You know, straight down. It's none of this schmoozing or...
I tried to do all that business. I'll tell you what I didn't like about the building game. You've got to clear up after.
Yeah.
Bollocks to this. Half hour before you finish on the building, it's like, hey, you got to sweep up, clear anyway. I don't like that. I like when I just drove the vehicle back into the depot, park it up, keys in, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, mate, you're right.
But literally, it was like doing housework.
Well, look, I used to have a driving job for my old man. But where it was like meat delivery, you used to have to clean the van when you got it back.
Oh, yeah.
So it was long, pull up, pressure washer, blast all the back out,
that's
squeegee, and then you can go home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was a labourer. If you're a labourer, that's the shit. You do the cleaning up, mate.
Yeah, you do it.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, look at me. I'm not built to be carrying shit.
No.
I'm carrying that truck of cement. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Bags of cement, what they call it, the cement mix, whatever it is. You've got to flip now.
Yeah, you'd be carrying one brick at a time, I think. So,
yeah, seriously, man. Been making,
I'm in a few of them.
Literally, I'm in the right trade.
Yeah,
Yeah, I lift up a mic for a living.
Yeah.
I can manage that every day.
That's the only thing about stand-up, which can sometimes be a bit troublesome, is like you said, you've been Birmingham, Nottingham.
Yeah.
Is the travel can do you in a little bit, you know what I mean?
That is the most tiring part of the
yeah.
job.
Yeah.
Do a train.
I'd like to drive myself.
Yeah. Do you like drive, yeah?
Yeah.
You I'm see, I quite often like getting a train, because if I get on a train, it means I can have a bit of time writing.
Mm. Right.
You know.
And I will think, while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? I'm driving up to Glasgow.
Oh really?
That's a fucking long way, mate.
I drove up to Newcastle. I drove up there, stayed an hour, and I drove back.
To Newcastle, yeah.
From Newcastle.
What was that?
It was a gig. Oh, the gig was wicked. It was in South Shields, which is like 12
miles. Yeah, South Shields?
Yeah, just outside.
Where Cheryl Cole's from.
How long did it take?
5.5 hours. 5.5 hours going up there, 5 hours coming back, because the roads were clearer. Coming back.
Jeez.
That's a slog, dog.
That's a slog, man.
What's it, 2 hours on the train? 3 hours on the train?
Yeah, to work for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean,
literally, to work for 20 minutes.
Really, would you consider that 10 hours work?
No.
Because you had to do the driving?
No. I consider work when I step on stage.
Yeah, I get ya.
It's a long commute, though, isn't it, Slim?
It's a long commute. Yeah, I was just out for a drive, isn't it? I got little music. Yeah.
I think you're just one of the most positive people I've met.
You really are.
I mean, how often do I get on the phone to you and I'm effing and I'm blinding? I've got to go here, I've got to go there. I tell you, I remember once I'd done a gig in Cardiff and I left at like 4.
Mm.
Left work a bit early. Mm. 4. Done the gig and it was only like an open spot, like 5-10 minutes or whatever. Drove back home at 2 in the morning. Had to be up work for 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
I was fucked.
Yeah.
You drive to Cardiff to do 5 minutes on an open mic.
Yeah.
What happens. That's what we do. It's the travelling. It literally is the travelling.
That is outrageous.
It was the top club in Cardiff, though, so it's like that's why you do it.
Okay.
Man, listen, I think when I used to drive the buses, remember driving buses at the time when I was driving it in the 90s and that, you know, like £6-7 an hour, an hour. I used to drive along the King's Road, Chelsea. I used to drive a 211 bus. Goes from Waterloo to Hammersmith. It goes along King's Road. So you'd be driving along King's Road all day and you'd see the people out early for brunch. They're not going to work. Mm. They're like the age you are now, in their, you know, 30s and that. They're sitting down, I'm slogging it, you know.
Yeah.
They're sitting down having their tea and I say, one day I want to be able to do that. Be able to go brunch where I'm not part of the rat race in the morning.
Yeah.
And even though I travel a lot, I'm not part of that rat race. Unless there's filming or I can brunch.
That's true.
Now.
You're not part of the rat race. Yeah. No, you're true.
And, you know, as I said, the reason why I sound so positive, I remember when I used to earn per hour. I think the most I ever earned per hour in any job might have been £9 something.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I've been self-employed now, 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
But before that, yeah, it's about £8-9 an hour I was earning. My last job was actually all right. It was for agency work. It was actually delivering BMWs to the new owners.
Oh, really?
So I drive your new BM to you and I collect your old car.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Car exchange, yeah. So I'll drive to your house, you give me the keys, you go over your car, give me back. So it's easy.
Yeah.
Black man driving BMWs all fucking day, every day.
Did you give it a little bit?
Of course you get it, man. Everybody got their car raced out before I got to slow down about like 20 minutes before you get to the house.
So the engine's that clutch? Not... You know what I mean?
Come on, you're driving all the... Come on, M5s, M6. Think of all the BMs that you can drive, mate.
Nice.
Oh, mate, convertibles.
Yeah,
it was, but as I said, compared to... You know, working 20 minutes for good pay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
So that is why I'm a preacher. That's why I'm happy.
And I tell you what.
And it's something I love doing.
Mm. Yeah. And when you're up on stage, sometimes I have like my moments. I'm like, oh, it's just really hard work. And, you know, I just like to have a normal life. Or I go do my job, come home, you know what I mean? Spend a bit more time with my son and that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're up on stage, that is what I just really, really miss, you know.
Yeah.
Everything else that comes with it can sometimes be a bit of a ball ache, but when you're on stage and you're telling the jokes and
politics
can be a headache, yeah. But when you're on stage and you're telling them jokes in front of all them people, it's like not many people get to experience that today. And that's what you've got to remind yourself.
Yeah.
Because people go up and they're experiencing it, but not a lot of people get good at it where they can really have a crowd laughing for 20, 30 minutes.
And you have to remember, it's a room full of strangers.
Strangers, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to make
them
laugh.
Happy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or the majority of them
And they're
happy.
Expecting to be made to laugh.
Yeah. So it's a great feeling when you accomplish that.
I've got to say, black audiences, you know, I've done some gigs before in the black circuit where it's, you know, predominantly black audience. Mm. And when you get them to laugh, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's really loud.
Laugh loud. Yeah,
it's so loud. It's loud. It's emotive.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man.
He said that to me before,
really
Slim.
Nice. Yeah, man.
He's like, when you get a black audience to laugh, it's sick.
It's really, really. Because they do love their comedy.
But then if they're not having you.
If they're not having you, that's the only thing. Yeah.
They'll let you know.
Yeah. So it's a tougher actual circuit to come up on because... Maybe on the mainstream, they kind of will give you a little clap for, oh, we tried, you know, bless his.
Yeah,
they're a bit more polite.
You ain't got that bless. You'll say, yes. Like, I thought he said
so
he was
what'd you
funny.
Get?
You won't get booed, but you won't get no laughter, or they'll just start doing their own thing. Start talking amongst themselves.
They'll
go on their phone.
It's a bit like that when, obviously, we're from Essex, but I've always felt like gigs in Essex can be like that. They're almost like, make me laugh. If you make them laugh, they're really with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, clapping, you know. Yeah, if you're not, then they'll, you know.
Chat. Yeah.
They'll chat. They'll let you know.
Yeah, that's terrible, man.
And it's and when you first start gigging in front of them audiences, it's a bit like, oh, fucking hell, this is tough. But
yeah,
it does make you better.
It does. Because the other ones now, other gigs, just feel much easier.
Yeah.
You know, stags. When you do stags, you only got stags in, hens in.
Yeah.
And they're all rowdy.
Yeah.
And you've got to get all of the attention. Half of them's flipping cut as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and they want the attention. Yeah.
And you've got to deal with all that. But if you can get that, you have a night where there's stags and hens in, and you come
and
off
you
that.
You can get them.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
How do you deal with hecklers?
No one heckles me. I mean, that sounds really weird.
I think it's because you've got a very likable persona on stage, and you're also very, very good. So it's
and I'm
like
quite
they
loud.
Don't.
Okay, so they can't get a word in.
That's the truth. I don't think so. I'm quite loud, ain't I?
Yeah.
So
you're like, but you own. You know what I mean? You're a big presence up there.
Yeah, I don't. I just try and be direct, make the people laugh, and you know, I mean, one of the things of the jobs. Is people come up to you after and said, look, I've had a really bad time recently, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They said, I wasn't even going to come out tonight. You really cheered me up.
Yeah.
You think,
that's nice.
Do you know stuff like that? Hmm. I'd done an American Army base. This is about 20 years ago. This is when the Iraq wars were going on. And I'd done the American Army base in Germany. And after the show, a young soldier came up to me. Must have been about 22, 23. And he said, man, he said he came out here with his best friend. They're from America, and he came out for the war. And his friend got killed.
Shit.
Do you know what I mean? He said, I've been in my, you know, in his barracks. He'd been up in his room. And he came out only when necessary. So they said, come to the comedy show. And he said, I wasn't even going to come. He said, mate, God, but he really stood up and talked to me for 15. You could see he'd missed his mate as well, you know, because his mate had most probably got killed maybe a month before.
Mm.
So for someone to come up to you and say, you know what, I don't know who you are, but you don't know what's going on in my life, but thank you. Come on, man. You can't beat them kind of jobs,
you can't
man.
Put a price on that,
you
man.
Can't put a price on
that. They do
on.
That a lot, right? Comedians go to army barracks.
Oh, yeah. We go, I've done the Falklands.
Look into that, Jamesy.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
You'd love that.
Yeah, I'm doing one in Moscow next week, actually.
I'll talk to the guy that does the Falklands. Because they go out to the Falklands.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
You're not actually going to Moscow, are you?
No, I'm not going to Moscow, no. Yeah, I'm doing it for Putin and his troops.
You're going out for Putin, you know. You got a mind.
No, I'm doing it for Zelensky. I'm going Kiev. I'm going Ukraine.
Yeah.
You got a mind where you travel, though. Because if you go States, they want to know where you've been Europe. And depending on where you've been, done a show. I can't remember. It ain't Iran or one of those.
And then they weren't allowed in.
They said, mate, we've got to check you out. What are you doing there?
I'll cancel that gig in Iran then, I reckon.
Go Falklands, mate. You've got the British troops still there.
Yeah. I'd love to do that.
They're still there, yeah.
That would be very on brand for me as
mate,
well.
Mate, that would be so
100% they'd love you.
In the Falklands.
I swear to God.
Yeah.
Swear to God. It was a trip where, because when the Falklands when that war started, I'm born 72, so that was like 82, 81, 82, I'm sure it was like that. I was about 10 watching this on TV. You know, I remember Simon Weston, soldier that got badly burnt when they bombed the ships and all that. So for me now, as a grown adult, to go and visit that land and see, and they, you know, they take you on the tour, the fallen lads.
What were they fighting over?
I was asked that. The place is like Hastings. It's just a rocky place. They said, oh, there's fishing rights and sovereignty.
Argentina basically island. Think the Falklands is theirs, but it's a British...
It's a bit like France saying Isle of Wight's theirs. And Britain says no.
Yeah,
like,
although, is it good or...?
Falklands is right by Argentina, to be fair.
It's right next to Argentina, literally.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
we probably
what's
should
the beef?
Just give it to them.
What's the beef?
I asked. They said it was something to do with... It's money. It is money. Most wars come down to this somewhat. But if you see the Falklands, it's literally
rock.
Yeah.
That's why I had to ask, what come over here? And it's fishing, lucrative fishing, oil, and around that.
Normally oil.
That kind of,
it's like fighting over Canvey Island or something. It's like, it's not worth it. You know what I mean?
So yeah. It was great. It's a good bit of history. They've got a lot of... tourists come over there to literally see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll
Mount Kent, Mount... They've got soldiers up on the mountains, what they call them, communication guys. So they put them up in, like, these little, like, what do they call these, Vicky? These little box unit things.
I know what you mean.
Little huts.
Like a hideout. Yeah.
Up in the mountain. We went up there and done a show up there. I think there's 30 of them in that hut. And we went up. And it was brilliant.
Oh, lovely.
You had to take a helicopter up there. They take you on a firing course. The lads look after you, all right. You'd you'd love it.
Shoot a gun.
Shoot a gun.
Yeah,
they
lovely.
Ask me, do I want to go shooting? A black man lives in Brixton. If he wants to shoot a gun legally, and there's going to be no police and no court case, give me the fucking gun.
Oh, mate. Yes, Slim, brother. Thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Bro, it's been a pleasure.
Mate, and you know,
Joshy.
You're someone that I massively look up to
respect
you know.
Respect.
Yeah, mate, it's great to meet you.
Good
stuff.
Yeah, you really are. You know, whenever I watch you do stand-up, I'm like, you know, if I really want to work hard and try and get as good as what you are one day, you know.
Bro, you will. You're doing your thing. Yeah. Believe me. Yeah, you're being received out there. Your name's getting out there.
Yeah.
And your podcast is, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So,
congratulations. We're getting there, mate.
Slowly but surely, that's what it is, isn't it? Longevity, mate.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing, and
exactly.
All the best to your viewers as well, man.
Yeah, lovely.
Respect.
Cheers, Slim, brother. Thanks.
Nice one, Slim.
White boy, what are they going to do on the YouTube, mate?
Go subscribe to the channel. We are Real17. Leave us a comment, like the video if you like the video, and hit the bell icon if you never want to miss an episode.
Yeah, lovely stuff. And just to let you know about my work in progress from Friday the 24th of May at the Etc. Theatre in Camden with Andrew Mensah. Tickets are on sale now. Limited tickets are available, to be honest. It's not a big venue, so make sure to go get them. If you're listening on the Spotify or the Apple Podcast, go give us an honest 5-star review. And we'll see you all next week.
Laters.